Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Well, coming up on today's show, are you addicted to your alarm's snooze button? Must admit, I hit mine twice this morning. Are you feeling constantly tired or wired? Or maybe you're feeling blocked or frustrated that you've so much to do and yet you're not getting the important things done in life. In Body Intelligence, Harness Your Body's Energies for Your Best Life, Dr. Joseph Cardillo combines Western science and holistic psychology to share how we can balance our body's energy, how we can remove energy blocks, and tap into what he calls our energetic sweet spot. Well, that's coming up around 12:30. First of all, I'm going to bring you a conversation I had with a medical doctor who never lost the writing bug. She eventually traded her stethoscope in for a pen and literary career. She is now a New York Times, and has been for many years, a New York Times bestselling author. Her name is Tess Gerritsen. And as I said, she's a former physician. She's the internationally best-selling author of TV's Rizzoli and Isles series, including Last to Die, The Silent Girl, Ice Cold, The Keepsake, and the list goes on. There's a whole bunch of them there. And those books were taken and put into TV format. And she has many, many books out, as I said. This new one is called Playing with Fire. It's a novel of historical suspense and it begins. Actually, I'm going to let the tape. We're going to play the tape in just a second, and this will unfold as it comes on. But it has a really interesting backstory, and to go with this is also a piece of music that Tess composed. She composed it to inspire the book, as inspiration for the book. But as she was writing the book also inspired the music. So it's a really interesting story. And we're actually going to intro the conversation I had with her a couple of weeks ago. This is the first time it's airing today. We'll play that in with the music that she composed. So here's the interview with Tess Gerritsen. The book is called Playing with Fire. Well, Tess, it's great to talk to you. And I have to say, I thought the story of how you came up with the idea for this book, the inspiration for the book, was almost as interesting as the book itself. So why don't we begin there and just tell us, you were in Italy, you had a nightmare that inspired the story for the book. Tell us about that, if you would.
Yeah, it's never happened to me before. I dreamt, I was in Venice for my birthday, and I dreamt I was playing my violin. There was a baby sitting next to me, and I was playing something very dark and disturbing, and the baby's eyes glowed red, and she turned into a monster. I woke up, and I thought, it's very disturbing. I don't know what that means. There's a book here, but I don't know what this book is. I walked around Venice that day. I ended up in the old Jewish quarter, and saw a wooden plaque engraved with the names of all the Italian Jews who had been deported from Venice during World War II to go to death camps. And it was as if somebody just whispered, "This is your story. You know, tell my story. You're looking at the story." So that's where Playing with Fire started. It's about a woman violinist who picks up a handwritten old piece of music in an antique store in Rome. She takes it back to Boston. She plays it, and her three-year-old daughter goes berserk and transforms into this monster that I dreamt about. It does something violent, and the mother is now afraid of her own child. She doesn't know if this child wants her dead, and the kid's only 3 years old. Everybody thinks she's crazy. So she has to find the origins of this music, which is called Incendio, and she goes back to Italy to discover where the music came from. And in so doing, she opens up a whole new story. There are two stories told in parallel, and one of the other story takes place in World War II, Venice, where we see the composer's life. We see a boy who loves a girl, and we see this family trying to survive as the sort of clouds of the Holocaust are starting to move in.
You did a great deal of research on this, which some of it you share in the back of the book, for which I was grateful because I enjoy reading that. Did the story, when you have this dream, this nightmare, and so that's the inspiration for it, but did it change as you were writing it and as you were finding more out?
Weirdly enough, a lot of what I had dreamt, I found out was actually true when I did my research. I had, there's a part of the story about a death camp. It is the only death camp in Italy, and it was in Trieste. And I, because I was writing about music, the whole story really is linked. The whole, you know, the one theme that goes through it is how music can transmit a story from 70 years ago into the future. What we listen to when we hear a piece of music is sort of an echo of what the composer was hearing when he was composing it. And so I wanted music to be an important part of it, and I found out as I was doing my research that the transit camp where Jews would have gone through as they were being deported from Venice, they had a crematorium there. This camp was later turned to a death camp, and a number of bodies that were fed into the crematorium were not necessarily dead, so they were screaming. Mm-hmm. And one of the things the commandant did was order music be played so that they wouldn't have to listen to these sounds. You know, I had already had that in my story, and then later on I read about this transit camp, and I thought, oh my God, it's actually true what I was thinking about. So my research in essence kind of reinforced what I already knew the story was going, where the story was going to go. And a lot of the research had to do with Italy and why Italy was different from other Western European countries that were occupied during World War II. Italy was kind of an exception in a lot of ways in terms of what happened to their Jewish population.
They lost a lot fewer of their population, I read, about 20%, whereas some countries lost up to 90-95% of their Jewish population during the war.
Yes, and the Jewish population in Italy, 80% survived. Most of them survived while staying in Italy, but hiding. And you cannot hide that successfully unless you have help, which means that a lot of the non-Jewish population must have been complicit in trying to save their Jews. And that says good things about Italy, doesn't it?
It does. I do remember seeing many resistance documentaries when I was a child that my father made me watch because it's what my grandparents had fought for. Let's talk about the music. Oh my gosh, it sends the young 3-year-old child, you know, off the deep end and into this monster, as you said. You know, I thought after reading the first chapter, I'd have to give her away, I'm afraid. But you are, you used to be a physician. You're a very accomplished musician yourself. You wrote a piece of music to go through this book. So talk to us a little bit about that, because it is so beautiful.
It was another gift from my subconscious. I told you how the story came about from a dream. I was writing the book, describing in great detail, you know, in the text, what the music sounded like, because, you know, it was affecting Julia so much. And those descriptions must have kind of seeped into my subconscious, because I had another dream, and I woke up with a melody in my head. It took me about 6 weeks to get it all down, but it's a 98-bar piece, takes about 3.5 minutes to play the original piece as I wrote it. And I thought it was, you know, it was too hard for me to play. I'm not that accomplished a violinist. I'm sheer amateur. So I didn't know how good it would sound. And I sent it to a producer I know in London. He's a, you know, actually produces music. And I said, what do you think? And he came back to me. He said, this is really beautiful. I think there are a number of, you know, international violinist stars who would love to record this. So he put me together with violinist Suzanne Howe, and she is a prize-winning international star. She's played with 50 orchestras around the world. She read the manuscript. She saw the music and got very, very involved in the whole thing. So we collaborated. Suzanne and I collaborated. I mean, it's kind of funny because she's Asian-Canadian and I'm Asian-American. And she was so taken by the story that she even contributed a small part of to the composition. Out of the 7-minute recording that she finished, about a minute is her original composition. It's sort of a violin cadenza that adds to the sense of panic in the story and to the music itself.
It's absolutely haunting, and I kid you not, I did listen to it over and over again this morning when I was prepping my notes for our talk today. So what are you going to do with it? Are you actually going to release it?
Yes, it's been released. It's on iTunes now.
It's on iTunes.
And it's also available for download on Amazon.com. And if people want to find how to get to it, they can go to my website at tessgerritsen.com. I have a 1-minute excerpt of it there if you can just want to listen to it first, and where to find it.
Well, I read that you'd always wanted to be a writer, Tess. As a young girl, you dreamed of writing Nancy Drew novels. Your parents, however, didn't see that as a sustainable career, which is why you went into, you became a physician. You were in Honolulu on maternity leave and write a story that won first place in a competition. So how did your writing career take off after that?
I went on maternity leave. I owe my writing career to a son who was a very, very good sleeper as a baby. Whenever he would take a nap, I would just write. And I finished my first book during maternity leave. It took me, I think it was my third book that I actually sold. But, you know, that was a period of time when I was sort of juggling a lot of things, motherhood, part-time medical doctor, and writing. Eventually, after I sold my second or third book, I think, I realized that was what I was meant to do, so I never went back to medicine.
Interesting. And I read the first story that you wrote, your mother actually was quite suicidal when you were a child, when you were growing up, and that writing that story helped you resolve some of the issues around that. I'm wondering, you've now had a very lengthy writing career. What else has writing helped you overcome?
Well, writing, I think I write thrillers. There's a, David Morrell, who's a wonderful writer, always says that novelists write the same kind of book again and again because they're dealing with some sort of childhood issue. I write mysteries or crime, I think, because I'm trying to understand who's evil and who's not. And it comes from having had an experience as a child. A very beloved family friend who I completely trusted ended up killing his sister-in-law and went to jail for it, and I still can't see that I ever saw that side of him. I always thought he was a wonderful man, and I think I always wonder when I meet somebody new, are you who you seem you are, or who you look like, or is there something lurking beneath that smiling face? That is what I'm always looking for, trying to understand how people who look kind and wonderful and friendly can be villains.
Yeah, and talking of people, I think it's true to say that you're known for the characters that you develop. Julia, the protagonist in your book, is a very strong character. How do you formulate your characters? How do they come to you?
Well, sometimes they're bits and parts of me. Julia is very much like me because she has the same fears I do as a mother. I mean, the worst thing is to be afraid of your own child. I can't imagine any worse fear. So that part is straight from me as a mom. The question is, where do the villains come from, really? I mean, how do you formulate villains who everybody believes in? And I think a lot of that has to do with a strong sense of empathy or maybe acting skills, being able to get into somebody's head and see the world through different eyes. That ability to be, you know, to be empathetic and to know what other people are thinking is key to understanding who a character is.
And, of course, you're well known for the Rizzoli and Isles series, which became a TNT's original series, television series. How involved are you in that, if at all?
Well, they have their own team of writers. They write their own stories. So I don't really have any involvement. The pilot episode was based on my book, The Apprentice. But after that, they were free to take the stories in their own directions. And if you read the books and see the TV show, you'll understand there are major differences in the characters. But, you know, they're successful. They're going into their seventh season. I can't argue with success.
you definitely can't. And so let's talk about how you begin writing a book. You've got your idea, you've got to have your inspiration, you're raring to go. Do you outline? Do you freeform? I mean, what does that look like for you?
I get the idea. I get an inspiration. And usually the best books are those that come with really gut-wrenching inspirations. And then I start writing. And I only have a vague idea of where it's going. Maybe I can see a third of the way ahead in the book. And about halfway through the book, I get writer's block. It just happens a single time. I get writer's block because I don't know what happens next. And I have to, you know, walk away from it for a couple of weeks and, you know, and take long walks and take long drives. And then I figure it out, and I come back and write the rest of the book. So every book is like, oh, it's very painful sometimes. That's what made this book such a joy to write, because I knew from beginning to end, from the first time I wrote a book, a word on the page, how playing with fire would work out.
And what do you say, what advice do you give to, I'm sure you're asked this all the time, a million times, but what advice do you, Tess, give to novice writers?
I would advise them not to edit until they finish the first draft. But that's just the way I work. You know, there's no right or wrong way to write a book. And I also, when people ask, how do you start the stories? How do you know where to start? I say I sit in a quiet room and I wait for somebody to talk to me. I wait for a character to start talking to me. As soon as you hear that character talking to me, your story starts.
Mm, interesting. And a final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with today, Tess?
Just that, I want young adults to read this book as well. I think they can find themselves and these young lovers in Lorenzo and Laura, and to always think, you know, maybe weigh for themselves, if I were put in that position, could I be a hero?
Yeah, good parting words. Thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And that was Tess Gerritsen, author of Playing with Fire. It's a novel of historical suspense. And David Baldacci, one of my favorite authors, said about this book, Tess Gerritsen has long been on my list of top mystery writers. With Playing with Fire, she's catapulted in a whole new direction. I defy you to read the first chapter and not send your fingers reading all the rest. And this is her music that she composed, that she talked about in our conversation. And we're going to play you about a minute of this, and then we'll head out to break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Let's see if I guess that this just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing, writing it another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicki St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicki partners with people just like you at the exact level you need. Whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services. If you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicki today. Email Vicki at VickiSt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicki and her work at VickiSt.Clair.com.
Oh, yeah, that could work.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations, both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, renowned conservationist, author, and president of Stanford University's Conservation Biology Department, Dr. Paul R. Ehrlich explores how we can stop the needless loss of species on our watch. His new book, The Annihilation of Nature, Human Extinction of Birds and Mammals. We'll also hear from author and conservation writer Liz Cunningham about the 2015 Paris Climate Summit happening right now. Join us every Monday at noon right here on Alternative Talk 1150 and listen to archive shows at conversationslive.net.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Listen to podcasts of past shows at conversationslive.net.
Remember, you're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. I love that music. It was composed by author Tess Gerritsen that I just talked with. The book called Playing with Fire. And I have two books to give away, courtesy of Tess. So we're going to do that by phone. It will go to my office's voicemail. And we'll just do it by phone today because we had a little issue with email, I guess, last time. Somebody, a couple of people said their email bounced back. Shouldn't have done, but these things do happen. So we'll do it by phone this time. And one thing I ask, if you do call in, if you'd like a copy of the book and would like to enter the drawing, then please make sure you speak your telephone number clearly and your name clearly, and so that I can get back to you. Sometimes I've not been able to get back to people because, you know, we're all on cell phones and all I could hear was squawk, 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 and I got a blocked number, so I couldn't call the person back. But the book is Tess Gerritsen's. I was just reading this, the Chicago Kirkus Reviews, excuse me, said this standalone novel has no bearing on the author's Rizzoli and Isles series, but the crafting is equally masterful. Music descriptions are perfect. Clear your schedule for this one. You won't want to put it down until you're finished. So I'm going to give away the phone number right now, and let's take the third and the fifth callers, and the third and the fifth callers who call in and would like a copy of this book. And that number is 1-800-495-7617. 1-800-495-7617. That will go to my private office voicemail. So leave your name, your number, and say you'd like to be the third or the fifth caller, and hopefully you will. And I will let people know by tomorrow. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. We're going to be talking with energy expert Dr. Joseph Cardillo. I find this book really fascinating because, like everybody, you know, there are times when I just run out of energy and feel totally pooped, and there are times when I feel wired and I can't sleep. And so his book is all about how to harness your energy and balance it for when you need it, slow it down when you don't, speed it up when you do. It's all about balance, and it's a really interesting subject. So we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, and we'll be right back.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals and paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws Foster Care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. Paws.org or 425-787-2500.
Alternative Talk 1150. We're on your radio at 1150 AM. We're on your HD radio at 98.9 Channel 3.
So many ways to listen.
We're on the web at 1150kknw.com. Streaming live audio and video as well as MP3 archives of many of our shows.
So many ways to listen.
And now, we're on your smartphone or tablet. Download our free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play and take Alternative Talk 1150 anywhere you go.
So many ways to listen.
You listen when your body says, I'm tired or I'm hungry. What if your body said something else might be wrong? Gynecologic cancers, cervical, ovarian, and uterine cancers have symptoms. So pay attention. If your body says something may be wrong, please listen. Learn the symptoms. Get the inside knowledge about gynecologic cancers. A message from HHS and CDC's Inside Knowledge Campaign.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Going against the grain has never been so much fun. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Well, we're talking about body intelligence in this next segment. What does that mean? We're going to find out with our expert, our guest expert today. He's written many books and many, many articles on this topic. Let me give him a formal introduction, then I'll bring him on. Joseph Cardillo, PhD, is a top-selling author in the fields of health, mind, body, spirit, and psychology. He's an expert in attention training, creative thinking, and body energy, and has taught his methods to more than 20,000 students at various colleges around the country. He's a regular contributor to Psychology Today and is the author of Be Like Water, the Body Energy Classic. He holds a doctorate in holistic psychology and in mind-body medicine. Dr. Joseph Cardillo, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure, and I want to begin with that term that you used, holistic psychology. What does that mean?
well, when I use the term holistic, I'm referencing specifically the body, mind, and spirit connection. And when I look at that connection, I see it as a unified being. I don't really see this as three separate categories or three separate parts of us that are unrelated, but as one unit, one unified unit, which I like to call really our whole living being.
Right. And that's a good place for us to come from. Well, I think most of us know that we consist of energy. And I wanted to read just a section, and this is actually from the back of your book. You say, you are energy, your world is energy, everything in your world is energy. And we began our journey through this book with a notion that ultimately everything is energy interacting with other energy. And the key is learning how to tap into this and balance it. So, I think typically people think of themselves, if they're looking at energy in themselves, they may say, oh, I'm feeling really low energy today, or I'm feeling really high energy today, I'm buzzed. You say it's not quite as simple as that. It's actually a lot more complex. You say our energy is cyclical, and we actually need those dips when we're feeling that low energy so that we can soar. So talk to us about that a little, if you would.
Yeah, that's one of the spots where I began my research on the idea that most people, myself included, for part of my life, I thought, there's two kinds of energy. You wake up and you're bright and shiny,
mm-hmm.
or you're feeling kind of down. And then, I started to look at this very, very closely. And, I thought of all kinds of examples when people are at the top of their game. And it's different for different people, really depending on what your goal is. If you're an athlete, you have certain goals. If you're reading a book, or if you're working in business, or if you're just trying to have a nice day with your family, those are all kind of different energy goals. And so I started to look at it as, you know, what is it exactly that makes it possible for us to have these just wonderful, flowing, on top of our game moments? And what conditions bring that mindset, that body set on? And is this something that we could tap into at will and have for the important moments of our lives, and maybe even more than just those moments?
Right.
And so that brought me to the to this whole idea of energy, and it's really all about that. It's all about energy.
And so if we're wondering what kind of energy stimulates us or aggravates us, or is good or positive or negative, I guess, give us some examples of that. I mean, most of us probably know, but just let's be really specific about this.
Yeah, if you think about it, when we take an athlete who's trying to lift a 350-pound weight, that would require a certain type of energy that's so different from the energy to play a violin, or to create a melody of your own on an instrument, or to solve a difficult math equation, or to heal from a broken heart, or heal from a surgery. These are all different kinds of energy. And so one of the first places that we can start building what I call body intelligence is to start identifying the various types of energy that we need throughout the day, and see them as different. And then to try to identify what it is that is in our day that is already giving us that energy. You know, where do we have a match? For example, when I do thus and thus, I am a more organized person. Or when I do thus and thus, I tend to wake up happier, or I tend to wake up with more energy. So once we can start to identify some of those things that we're already doing, what I do in my book is help people identify those things, and then the trick is, in body intelligence, is to become aware of what those things are and then how we can ramp up the effect. So now that we know this causes us to be alert, what my book teaches is, okay, you're already doing this to some extent. Now let me show you how you can amp up that effect so you can be really alert when you need it, and so that we can make that last longer, and so that we can call it up at will. And ultimately, the ultimate destination of all of this is to train the body to be able to do that on its own. So now you're, for example, waking up in the morning, and you have the exact energy you want. Your body is already harnessing it for you. Or you're going to lift a weight and your body is doing that for you. Or you're going into an office meeting and you want to feel a certain way and your body's doing it for you. You don't even have to think about it.
Right.
It's there.
Right. When I was reading this, could see correlations throughout my life and daily living, and I was trying to think of examples and stuff. One thing that you talk about in there is that it's our body that actually we're training. Many would say, you know, we have to control the mind first, but you say we can actually, our body is really what's driving us there. I think of an example. I used to joke when I lived in San Diego that on the way home, I'd say, I'm not going to the gym tonight. I don't want to go to the gym tonight. And yet suddenly I'd be there because I trained my car to drive me there. Now I don't have that kind of structure. My days are kind of more random. So how could I train my body to get into that kind of mode again?
To want to go to the gym?
Yeah, well, it does, but it does go whether it wants it or not. But you talk a lot about training our body to respond.
Yeah, because one of the things, and again, you know, we're looking at it as one full unit, the whole living being as one unit. When I'm looking at this in my book, I'm looking at it as, if our mind is fatigued, if our brain is fatigued, if we're experiencing low energy, you don't want that fatigued mind or depressed mind or negatively emotional mind imposing its influence on the body, because now you're going to have two problems. So it is the body that will then help balance the mind. And a very simple example of that is if we, who hasn't been having a bad day and just gone out for a simple little walk and come back and felt a little bit better, mm-hmm. or a little bit more balanced?
Right.
So the body can rebalance the mind when it's fatigued, when it's not behaving the way we want it to, and now you've got a healthy mind then imposing its influence on a healthy body, and the cycle becomes synergistic. And that's what we want, because that's what creates that flowing moment for us and hopefully keeps it going for long periods of time.
Right. You talk about the importance of starting our day the right way. Normally I wake up to the news, which you say, yeah, maybe that's not such a good idea. I grab a coffee. Yeah, then maybe that's not such a good idea. And generally I'll have it on the run. And that's not a good idea either. So let's look at the importance of starting our day the right way and what you recommend.
Well, first, one of the things I recommend at first is to take a look at what's going on the day before. Because that can affect that, how you manage your energy on a Monday, for example, can affect the rest that you get Monday night and how you wake up Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And it can even have ramifications farther down the road than that. But in my book I have a self diagnostic chart. That's actually kind of fun. But it's actually kind of fun. You can see the things that you do throughout the day and see if they're working or not energetically. And the idea is that you can very easily spot those things that are draining your energy. And so then the idea is, let's try to plug those things or get rid of them. And then you can spot those things that you're doing naturally throughout the day that give you the energy spike that you want, and then we're going to try to maximize on those things. And so that's a beginning to having a better energy day, having a more restful night, and then getting up in the morning, feeling good with the energy that you want. And one of the things that body intelligence teaches is that your body, because it's a very smart and intelligent machine and capable of drawing energy from everything in its environment and really within itself, your body starts to prepare you for the way in which you've trained it. It starts to prepare you for that in advance. So, for example, if I get up every morning and go outside and take a walk, my body will start to prepare me to wake up at that certain hour before I'm even awake.
Right.
My body will start to detoxify itself. It'll change its temperature. It'll change its chemistry. It'll start going through quite a few changes in order to facilitate what I'm trying to do, which is going out and taking a walk. And we can make out pretty well from training the body to do things like that in an effort to get us up with energy the moment that we wake up in the morning.
Right.
So it's just a simple little trick of training the body, and my book is full of little tricks like that.
Yeah, I love at the end of each chapter you have exercises and practices, and they're very simple to do. It's really about making you much more mindful about how you're feeling, where you're at, what you're doing, when you're feeling a certain way. And you've got these kind of exercises and practices at the end of each chapter, which I think is great.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. And people have been writing me about the book, saying that that they can't believe how simple these things are. And
saying,
well, I've had a sense of these things my whole life, but now you're explaining the science behind it, and I'm able to maximize on them, which is, you know, makes me feel great because that's what I'm trying to do with all this.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to go a little deeper into this and look at some of the external stimuluses that may drain us or boost us. The book is called Body Intelligence, Harness Your Body's Energies for Your Best Life. And my guest, Dr. Joseph Cardillo. And you're listening to Conversations Live. We'll be right back.
And the world.
You listen when your body says, I'm tired, or I'm hungry. Are you listening? Would you listen if your body said, I have pain and pressure in my abdomen. I feel bloated for no good reason, or I get too full too fast. I'm spotting, but I've already gone through menopause. Or I have to go to the bathroom more often and more urgently than usual. These can be signs of a gynecologic cancer, like cervical, ovarian, uterine, vaginal, and vulvar cancers. Symptoms aren't the same for everyone. If your body says something may be wrong, please listen, learn the symptoms, and get the inside knowledge about gynecologic cancers. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga, we cover the world of animals. This week, November 29th, it's an encore version of Animal World. With me in the studio, Susan Usha Derman, author of Calm and Compassionate Children. She's also a longtime member of Ananda and very involved with the Living Wisdom Schools. We'll explore the creation, history, philosophy, and curriculums of these schools in all locations worldwide. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM. 1150.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, renowned conservationist, author, and president of Stanford University's Conservation Biology Department, Dr. Paul R. Ehrlich explores how we can stop the needless loss of species on our watch. His new book, The Annihilation of Nature, Human Extinction of Birds and Mammals. We'll also hear from author and conservation writer Liz Cunningham about the 2015 Paris Climate Summit happening right now. Join us every Monday at noon right here on Alternative Talk 1150. And listen to archive shows at conversationslive.net.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to brighten your day.
You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, and we're talking energy in this segment, if you couldn't tell by the music there. We're talking about body intelligence, and my guest is an expert in this field, Dr. Joseph Cardillo. He's a top-selling author in the fields of health, mind, body, spirit, and holistic psychology. And this book is called Body Intelligence, and it's all about how to harness your body's energies so that you can live your best life. It's a really good book, and it's very simple to follow, as Dr. Cardillo said himself just earlier. I want to look, Dr. Cardillo, at some of the things that from outside that can drain us, because, you know, when I think of that, I think of kind of loud, aggressive people will drain me if I'm around them too long. You know, traffic is draining. Even some kind of music can be draining to a point. So talk to us a little bit about that, if you would.
The first thing that you want to think about when your energy is, when you feel that energy drain, and, you know, sometimes we muscle through things. We get the job done, but we're drained. We don't feel good about it. We walk away tired and fatigued, and sometimes more than that. Sometimes we walk away conflicted. The bottom line is what's happening when we feel drained is that we've used energy for the job. We've mismatched our energy with the goal that we had in mind. And there's a lot of reasons for that, many of which I cover in the book. You know, most of the common reasons, probably all of the common reasons I cover in the book, that cause us to mismatch our energy with a particular task, and then we walk away with that kind of drained feeling.
Right. When I was reading the book, I started, you know, doing some self-assessment here. That's the whole point of doing this, right? And I was thinking how much music influences me, because if, for example, I have to do something I really don't want to do, and I don't know, might be cleaning the garage, for example, then I'll play something like Eminem, which really revs me up. If I'm feeling stressed and I'm on deadline, which I'm constantly on deadline, but if I'm feeling really highly pressurized, I listen to Leonard Cohen's 10 best songs, and for whatever reason, that just, it mellows me out and tunes everything else out. I listen to that, or I listen to Gregorian chants by the Benedictine monks, and maybe it's something about that growling noise that it just calms me out. But it has a huge influence on me.
Absolutely. And see, sound in general, whether it's music or whether it's natural sounds, for example, a crackling bonfire sound, or you know, waterfalls or
yes,
a stream, wind and things like this, natural sounds and or music has a tremendous effect on our body's energy, which then has a tremendous effect on our mind's energy. And the reason for this, and I explain it in the book, and it's kind of fun, really. The reason for this is that the body uses electrical energy, chemical energy, and sound energy, mechanical energy, light energy. So all these things affect the body, and they can affect the body in a millisecond. That
yeah,
quickly.
Yeah.
And so when you listen to sound, sound can trigger an electrical activity in your brain. It can change the activity in your brain, and that can trigger then chemical activity within the rest of your body. And so what you're feeling is real, and then, of course, that will change your mind.
Interesting. It is really interesting, because I know when I listen to hard, I don't like hard jazz, it does something to my brain, I swear. And I feel my shoulders rising up, and my stomach gets tense, and I just want to get away from it.
But there's some great stuff in the book about sound and so on. One of the interesting things is that when you can use sound and color and scent in similar ways to the, except it's natural, similar ways to the way we use medicines. And for example, sound and scent and color that affected, let's say, one's mother will affect you.
Right.
In a similar way.
Oh, interesting.
And so if it had a negative effect on mom, it'll have a negative effect on you.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting, because parents-to-be can get a lot of mileage out of that.
Yes.
With their children. Now, one of the things that I talk about in the book, again, the core of the book teaches us how to take these very simple things like that we do. For example, listen to music, and what we can do to ramp up the effect. For example, let's say that you have a certain piece that you play, and it doesn't matter. No one piece is better than another. As long as you like it, it works, because that's what's driving the electrical and chemical activity in your body, that you like it. And so if you have a piece that you like and it elates you, it makes you feel good, it does bring you up, you can amplify that effect by playing something really slow first. So if you listen to a natural sound like a waterfall or something like that, or if you listen to a very slow piece of music and then listen to that for probably somewhere between 7 and 12 minutes and then put on something that's really upbeat, the upbeat piece will have a much stronger effect, and it will last longer.
Oh, interesting. I'm going to try
see?
That.
So wow. I teach simple things like that in the book to to give the energy that you want, that you're already using, that's so simple.
Yeah.
I teach you how to give that energy more amplification. For example, when you take a walk outside, there are some simple things that you can do to increase the goodness that you're feeling, and then come back to your office or at home and feel elated without having the side effects of having to crash like we do when we've used an energy drink or caffeine.
Right. So give me an example. If I'm walking, what's one example that can enhance that experience for me?
Well, all right. So if you walk, your body's using mechanical energy. So what you're doing is you're increasing the exercise's mechanical energy. You're increasing the mechanical energy and the heat energy in your body. You're detoxifying yourself, and you're also at the same time changing the blood chemistry of your body. When you're outside, the light, remember the body uses light energy.
Right.
The light is, and I love this, the light is changing your blood chemistry by reducing the amount of melatonin that's in your bloodstream, which is what's making you feel groggy in the first place.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So now if you couple that with music or with a natural sound, you're using more than one part of your brain. And the more parts of your brain that you utilize while you're taking that walk, the more energy you're going to increase within your body and the more chemical changes you can put your body through, so long as those the things that you're doing are giving you, again, the positive bursts of energy that you want. So if you're using music, and let's say that while you're playing the music, let's say that you imagine a scenario. Let's say it's a song from as far back as you can remember, you know, when you were younger and that you really loved. And so you're listening to this song that you really loved and that revved you up back then, and you
young
kind of
girl.
Imagine a scenario.
Yeah.
Imagine a scenario, as long as it's positive, imagine that scenario. So now you're using the visual center of your brain, the language center of your brain. You're using music, which permeates your whole brain. You're using mechanical energy, sound energy, light energy, and you're amplifying the effect. Later on, you can just think of the song, and your body will trigger those similar effects.
Mm.
And at some point, if you do it at a certain time of day, remember I said your body will start preparing you for it in advance?
Right.
Your body will go there all by itself.
Perfect. Perfect. That's what we want. Well,
that's what you want.
Yeah. And there's so much to talk about, and we don't have time. We're at the end of the show, unfortunately. I wanted to talk about aggression because we're such a... I think that society is getting more and more aggressive. And you talk in the book about destructive and constructive. So if people want to know more, they're going to have to buy the book on that. It's called Body Intelligence. Or maybe we can have you back to talk about that another time.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah, it's called Body Intelligence. Harness your body's energies for your best life. And it's packed full of really great information. Simple information that, you know, we are exposed to every single day. But it can really make a difference in how we balance our energies. Dr. Joseph Cardillo, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
And I want to let you know you can find out more about Dr. Cardillo and his work at josephcardillo.com, josephcardillo.com. There's a couple of videos up there, and he's written a ton of articles on Psychology Today and other publications. You can find out more about his work. It's really interesting. And I want to thank each of you for joining us today. Don't forget, we're giving away tests. We've already given that away, okay? So hopefully people have already called on that. The third and the fifth callers will be giving that book away. And if you've got comments, questions on today's show, you can reach me at info@conversationslive.net. I'll also be available at 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617. And you can find us on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair and on Facebook at Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. We'll have an all-live new show next week with a really great conservationist, Paul Ehrlich. He's doing a ton of great work at Stanford University, very renowned in his field of work. So hope you can join us then too. Until then, live well, live strong.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.